Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This story was told live at One Longfellow Square in Portland, where the event's dedicated theme was Turning Point. Here's today's host, Detroit-based storyteller and podcaster, Dame Wilbur.
So again, with the clapping, please welcome to the stage, Mark Pagan.
Hi, Portland. Is anybody here nursing a breakup by chance? Yes. What's your name? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to come on stage. What's your name?
Kaylee.
Okay, Kaylee, I'm going to talk to you tonight here. I don't know if this is happening to you, but I get really frustrated with friends that give empty advice during breakups. Like, you know, everything happens for a reason. I can kind of deal with that. People say things like, oh, you know, well, you'll meet somebody when you're least looking for it. And that actually I can say is true. That happens from time to time. What I cannot stand at all is when friends say, oh, you just need to get laid. Can't stand it at all. I think it's the most empty advice, because basically what they're saying is, I'm done talking about your ex-girlfriend. And I'm not a Pollyanna. I'm fine with everybody having a sex life. I'm sure some of you, if your friend said you just need to get laid, you go, yes, I do. And maybe you would go do that and then be casual or do whatever you need to do. But if you and I have sex, you're probably going to meet my family. I'm not casual about it at all. I am what they call a serial monogamist. I don't say that with pride. It's what led me into this predicament where friends were saying this to me. And the reason that they were saying this to me is years ago, I was in, I think it was a 4-year relationship with a woman named Sarah. Devastated, completely devastated. I loved this woman. I thought things were going to go much further, and they didn't. Ended like a lot of relationships do. And so I was moaning and moaning and moaning. And they kept giving me this advice. And I did this thing that happens when you're going through a breakup where, I don't know if you're going through this, but when you take a step back and you're like, let me assess everything I've done. And so I added up, as a young adult, I added up all the years that I'd been in a monogamous relationship, and it added up to 15 years. 15 years, a quinceañera of monogamy. And I was like, I'm not celebrating this. We're not throwing a party for this. We need to make a change here. Because when my friends were telling me this, you just need to get laid, I was like, you know what's going to happen. I'm going to end up in another relationship, and I'm going to be back moaning to you. So I'm going to not do that. I'm going to lead a monastic life. I am going to cut out desire. I am just not going to date or have sex or do anything intimate. This is going to work. Foreshadowing. So first month was fine, grieving the relationship, didn't have any energy, any thoughts of that. Second month, third month, fourth month. Fourth month, I'm in one of the most attractive places to me in the world, New York City, and I'm losing my freaking mind just walking around in the summertime. And these funny things start happening to me where I'll go to a deli, and I'm getting my change back. And when the deli guy touches my hand by giving me change, my brain goes, that's touch. And I'm going to the barber. You can see I don't have a lot of hair, so it doesn't take very long. But I'm asking them to trim even more just so they can touch my scalp for a little bit longer. And I'm like, this is just getting too tense. What do I do here? So I do something. I was like, I'm going to go to the least desirable place in New York City, which is Lens Crafters. Big surprise, I need to use their services. We wear contacts, and I have astigmatism in my right eye. It's developed more as an adult. And so the process is, I wear hard lenses. I won't get into details about that. But basically what that means for me is I have to go in, if I get a new prescription, I had to go in multiple times. So it's like weekly, where we're trying on different contact lenses and seeing which one works. And I'm loving this because there's nothing sexual going on here. It is just science, man. I'm coming in there and I'm talking to my doctor. We're joking and things like that. And I'm just reading letters. And it's like a cocoon of asexuality. Just great. Perfect. Fine. Awesome. Don't have to deal with the outside world. Don't have to deal with dating. Don't have to deal with any of this. I'm doing fine. What are you talking about? So this goes on for 6 weeks, and on the sixth appointment, a month and a half, I'm in his office, we've got the new lenses in, and that bottom line that he's feeding me, I'm getting it every single time, and I hadn't gotten it before, reading all the letters. He's like, I think we found a match. He goes, there's one more thing I need to do. And he takes that device away from my eyes, I don't know what it's called, but he moves it, and he kneels down. And he gets about 4 inches from my face. And he says, look into my eyes. And I say, okay. And with this distance, this closeness, this proximity, I can see, really see for the first time, his jawline. Half a day's stubble, nice olive skin. His cologne is becoming my cologne. He's that close. And he takes his thumbs, his very moisturized thumbs, and he puts them underneath my eyes, my eyelids, and he drops them like that to look into my eyes. And when he puts his skin on my face, I say, and he goes, I guess my fingers are cold. And I go, no, keep touching, keep touching, keep touching. In my mind, it was like a soundtrack. It was like, no, 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 no. And I just kept going. It was like a replay in my mind of this moment. It's like, oh my God, this has to keep happening. And I looked back, and it had been 6 months, 6 months since I had sex. It had been 6 months since I'd kissed somebody. 6 months since somebody put their hands on my face and looked me directly in the eyes. And for the first time in my life, I said to myself, oh my God, I need to get laid. And I saw this man that was 4 inches from my face. And I thought, what if I just lean in 4 inches? What would he do? Would he say, I'm a doctor, I can't do that? Or would we just frickin' make out? Now, I have to be clear here. I've never been with a man before. But I thought, maybe this is the change that I need. And I went even further. I was like, all right, well, if this, you know, this is a lifestyle change, I will have to, you know, I'll have a conversation with my mom. And my mom is a progressive woman. I don't think she would be shocked that I was dating a man. I think she'd be shocked I was dating a doctor. She's like, wait a second, he makes how much? I'm like, yeah, ma'am, he's an optometrist. And then it would just go down the pipeline of the family. Mark's dating a doctor, Mark's dating a doctor. And then I just got greedy. I just, like, my head started going to West Elm catalogs and be like, I want to buy this couch and this couch. We're going to have a nice place. He's going to still have that nice jawline. I'll get new glasses all the time. But instead, I went for a different option, which is I did not lean in. I finished the appointment very sheepishly, and I went home, and I eventually signed up for an online dating site. I did get laid, and I ended up in another relationship. Now, I'm going to do something here that I haven't really done before. I'm adding an addendum to this story. Okay, so this is very new and rough, because this happened years ago, and I've told it years ago, and I just moved. I moved to a new area in New York City, and I live closer to this Lens Crafters. I have not been back to that Lens Crafters in 4 years, And I was walking by one day, just minding my own business, and who do I see a few blocks coming towards me? But this doctor. And I think to myself, it was like running into an ex on the street going like, ah, shit, I have to avert eye contact. Do I cross the street? What do I do? And then, no, I'm going to be an adult here. I'm going to stand on this part of the sidewalk, keep walking, and I'm going to keep my eye contact on him. I'm going to keep my eye contact on him. So we get closer and closer and closer. And we're about like 5-7 feet away from each other. And his eyes meet mine. And then he looks away and keeps walking. And I think, you asshole. Did that not mean anything to you? So I haven't changed a lot. But I will say this. I am not wearing contacts anymore, people. Thank you.
Mark Pagan is an award-winning film and podcast producer, storyteller, writer, and former B-boy. Nice. Moth Story Slam winner. His work and performances have been shown at festivals and shows worldwide, including Slam Dance Film Festival, Arizona International Film Festival, Phenopolis Family, Ghost, North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival, Charleston Comedy Festival, Risk, The Moth, Story Collider, and Magnet Theater. He currently produces and hosts the series and live show, Other Men Need Help.
If you want to know more about today's storyteller, you're in luck. Let's join our host backstage now in conversation with today's teller.
What is your connection to Maine?
Very limited. I still think I'm a fisherman in my heart. That's about it. I've been here once.
All right. What got you into storytelling?
I was doing comedy for a while, and I got sick of telling jokes. I just wanted to tell long anecdotes. I felt like I had lived a life, and boom, that's what happened.
So what is your process for getting ready to tell a story?
I'll take my phone, and usually I'll walk around whatever the venue is, pretending like I'm talking to somebody on the phone, but I'm speaking it out to the phone. And that's usually what I do. Or if I am writing a story or something like that, I'll do the same thing. I'll go for long walks and talk to myself, pretending like I'm talking to somebody on the phone.
Have you ever been busted where somebody's like, there's no one on the phone?
No, I'm self-conscious enough that I'll lower my voice so that it'll be like this. But I don't think so. But I live in a major city, so I think everybody's just like, all right, if he's a weirdo, he's a weirdo.
All right, tell us about one part of your story, some little detail that's not going to be included in the one when you tell it tonight.
I don't think I'm going to be talking about this. I do have a new optometrist. And he looks nothing like my old optometrist. He looks like Joe Pesci.
I'm 100% intrigued. Thank you so much for coming up.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainpublic.org.